This is Tech on the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Ben Johnson. Over the last several days, we've been exploring South by Southwest Interactive, the tech-oriented part of an annual event that draws tens of thousands of people to the state capital. And we're still here in Austin. No matter who you are, one of the things the festival offers is an audience. It's a place where people come to talk about what's next in tech, and in a way, try to control the future by predicting it. Steve Case is no exception. The billionaire and AOL CEO turned Washington, D.C. venture capitalist is talking about the past, present, and future of the internet and pushing for VCs to fund tech hubs of the future that could exist in a large number of American cities. I sat down with Case during a short respite between a keynote address at the conference and judging a startup competition called Rise of the Rest. Steve Case, thank you so much for chatting with me.
It's good to be here.
So 20 years ago, AOL had just hit about 1 million subscribers. That feels like centuries ago, not decades ago.
It was a long time ago. I agree with that. And we had actually been at it for more than a decade at that point. We started AOL 30 years ago this year. At the time, only 3% of people were online, and they're only online an hour a week. It's also worth remembering that it wasn't until 1992 that it was even legal for consumers to connect to the internet.
Wow.
Back, the first wave of the internet in the 70s and 80s was restricted to government use and university use. So it was really scientists and educators and bureaucrats could use it, but you know, real people couldn't.
What shocked you about how the online world has changed or stayed the same since you first got in the game? And you've been in the game for a while.
Well, actually, what shocked me the first time was it actually took longer than I thought for the idea to take hold. PC manufacturers didn't want to build in communications modems because they thought most people don't want this, so why would we add that as a
it's
cost
expensive.
To every yeah. PC when only a few people want it? So why should we bother?
And every startup needs a true believer.
Every concept, a big idea, needs a kind of a tribe of true believers.
Speaking of which, talk to me about Washington.
Well, Washington actually is emerging very quickly as a hot startup center. It was not true 30 years ago. We started AOL in Northern Virginia, right across the river from D.C. And now you see the debates around net neutrality and other kinds of things. The government role is heating up again. I think key parts of our economy are going to require a little bit more of an interaction with the government, either as a regulator or even the government as a customer. The government spends more on learning and health than any other organization. So it's going to require a different kind of entrepreneur to engage in a different kind of way for this next wave of great innovation, what I think of the third wave of the internet.
You mentioned net neutrality. How do you feel about that issue? Where do you come down?
I think it's important. I think the AOL could not have been possible without breaking up the phone company. And basically, the key ruling there said that companies like AOL could connect to the telecom system. Up until then, they couldn't.
Is Facebook the next AOL?
Well, in some ways, it obviously is because our core of AOL always was people. You know, Facebook has kind of taken that baton and developed a strategy now with a broad global footprint that's really been quite impressive.
It seems to me that they're trying to build a place where you go to do everything. But in the early days, it seemed like AOL was similar. You were kind of going into one space that was mostly controlled by one company, even though there was plenty of community within that space.
Yeah, that's partially true. Our strategy was really to be the internet and a whole lot more.
Were most of your users getting outside of it?
It depends. It's a different state. Obviously, in the early years, the vast majority of the use was this custom services that were exclusive to AOL. Over time, the broader internet services got more traction. But even when I stopped running the company, which now 15 years ago, at the time, the majority of the services were the services that were part of the AOL package of unique services.
Tell me about the third wave of the internet.
Well, for some context, I think of the first wave as sort of 1985 to 2000 was really just building the internet. And the second phase has been really the last 15 years, which is building on top of the internet. But the next phase, the third wave, I think is going to be integrating the internet more seamlessly and pervasively in our everyday lives.
You're part of a startup competition while you're here. We're asking a lot of people what they're here to pitch. We think there's a lot of pitching happening at South by Southwest. Can you give me a pitch? What's your pitch?
It's really what we've been talking about. I think there's a new wave of innovation that's about to break, and it's going to be around this third wave of the internet, which is disrupting sectors like education, healthcare, and energy. And if you're an entrepreneur in St. Louis or Des Moines or Minneapolis or Pittsburgh, you're going to have the opportunity to build great companies there on the back of these trends. But you need to know what battle you're gearing up for in this third wave.
I have one more question for you, which you're welcome to say no to. Would you say you've got mail?
I had a feeling that's where we're going with this.
How many times do people ask you that?
It's been a few times, but I'm sure I'd be happy to. You've got mail.
Steve Case, thank you so much.
Thank you.